I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord. Very, very warm welcome to all our visitors here this morning. Yes, and also welcome back to those who have traveled. So good to see all of you. Yes, now this morning, the message is accept the challenge and accomplish it. Accept the challenge and accomplish it. Or we might say accept the challenges and accomplish them, depending on how many challenges you have. Now, we've read the passage, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Now, here we read of the children of Israel actually about to enter into the promised land. They had finished their 40-year wilderness wandering. And now they had come to the end of the wilderness wandering, poised to enter into the promised land. And their great leader, Moses, had passed away, and now the leadership was passed to his second in command, Joshua. Now Joshua by now must have been about something like more than 90 years old. Now Moses, his predecessor, was a spiritual giant of a leader who led a people that were very, very murmuring, that were very stiff-necked, disobedient, and faithless. Now, it was really not easy to lead such a big group of people that showed that kind of characteristics. And there were about 2 million of them. Now, who could be equal to the task of leading such a people? But Moses was the man chosen, appointed by the one true living God, to lead that people out of the land of Egypt. Yes. And he was able to accomplish the great task of leading them out of Egypt and the great task of leading them in the wilderness because God was with him. Yes, God was with him, and so because the Lord was with him, he was successful in accomplishing his mission. But while he was given the privilege of leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, he was not given the privilege to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, for that task, God had appointed another man. He gave that privilege to Joshua. Now, how would you feel if you were Joshua? How would you feel? Now, would you not say, Moses, who could replace Moses? Who could? His shoes are just too big for me to feel. Yes, and people would not respect me the way they respected Moses. And even Moses had a hard time with these people. These people, remember, were stiff-necked, they were murmuring, and they were a faithless, complaining people. The challenge for Joshua was enormous. Yes, and so he would say, Lord, how can I do it? Yes, I can't feel the shoes of Moses. But friends, Joshua was the man appointed by God, commissioned by God, to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And because God was with him, he was going to be successful in leading the children of Israel into the promised land. Now today, at the start of the year 2012, we might be looking forward to a very, very tough situation ahead of us, or maybe situations ahead of us. The challenges ahead of us could be very daunting and even frightening. Sometimes you do not have that thought. You do not know what is going to come ahead. You think all these, the challenges ahead of you are so mountainous. And the very thought of you just scares you out of your wits, as it were. Now, my dear friends, if the challenges are indeed from the Lord, yes, if they are indeed from the Lord, how should we view them? I'm not talking about challenges from elsewhere. I'm particularly talking about challenges from the Lord. How should we view these challenges? And how can we be successful in accomplishing them? And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Challenges from the Lord, how should we view them? And how may we be able to view them, accomplish them successfully? And for our lesson this morning, I'd like us to consider three things. First, God's commission to Joshua. Number two, God's promises that accompanied the commission that he gave to Joshua. And number three, God's conditions for success in accomplishing the mission. So three things I want to talk about this morning. Now, first of all, God's commission given to Joshua to accomplish Mission Impossible. Yes, it was Mission Impossible. Just look at the kind of mission that God assigned to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, or the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So what was the commission given to Joshua? The commission was this: now arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, the children of Israel, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Was the mission very clear? Clear mission. Go over this Jordan. Bring these people across the river Jordan. Yes, a clear commission, but a task that was virtually impossible to accomplish, humanly speaking. The land was occupied by nations that were more powerful than the nation of Israel. There were the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and so forth. And then there were giants in the land. You remember some 38, 39 years earlier, the 12 spies sent from Israel into the promised land to scout the promised land, came back with, all of them came back with good news. Except that 10 of them said that the land was not conquerable, except Joshua and Caleb. Now the 10 of them said the land was not conquerable because it was occupied by giants, the Anakims. So you see, it was mission impossible for Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But friends, I'd like us to look at this commission more closely and consider a few phrases. Now first of all, look at verses 1 and 2. Alright, verses 1 and 2. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. Who spoke to Joshua? The Lord, the one true living God. Yes, it was he who gave Joshua the commission. It was the mighty God who gave Joshua the commission, the one with whom nothing is impossible. And he was the one who delivered the children of Israel from the land of Egypt by sending them 10 plagues to afflict the Egyptians. Yes, and Joshua knew that. And then he parted the Red Sea and enabled the children of Israel to cross over dry land. And then during the 40-year wilderness wandering, they were fed with heavenly food, with manna. And the Lord protected them, preserved them over the 40 years wilderness wandering. And the Lord led them with a pillar of cloud, by a pillar of cloud during the day and by the pillar of fire at night. And day and night the Lord was with them, and the Lord preserved them so much so that, you know, their clothing and the footwear didn't wear out. They were miraculously preserved. Yes, this God was both able and faithful, who never let the children of Israel down. And he was the one. He was the one who gave this commission to Joshua. Not anyone else, but the one true living God. Friends, let's learn this lesson this morning. Yes, if the Lord has commissioned us, let us learn some precious lessons from what we are going to say this morning. Has the Lord commissioned you to do anything for him? Has he? Think about things that the Lord might have asked you to do. Has he commissioned you to serve him in the church? Has he commissioned you to lead in the church? Has he commissioned you to teach in the Sunday school? Has he commissioned you to lead in some Bible studies? Or has he commissioned you to be a leader of a discussion group? Has he commissioned you to be very, very greatly involved in the children ministry? Has he commissioned you to be involved in the kitchen ministry? Now the task ahead, as we said, could be very, very daunting. Yes, we may feel totally inadequate for this task. But that's a good feeling to have. If we feel inadequate, then we won't become self-dependent. We will want to be very, very dependent on the one true living God for strength and for success. Yes, we'll be more prepared to trust the Lord if we realize that we are inadequate. Now, service for Him is not limited to service in the church. We serve Him in our workplace. All right, don't just think that we serve the Lord in the church, but we serve the Lord in the church. We serve the Lord in our school. We serve the Lord in our university. We serve the Lord in our home. The situation could be very tough, wherever we may be. The situation in the office could be very, very tough. We might have a very, very difficult boss to relate with. We could have very difficult colleagues to relate with. And then we could have a project that is so tough, so hard to manage. All things are so difficult. But friends, if it is the Lord who has commissioned you to get into that situation, then He is going to be with you. And that's the truth. Yes. Then for mothers, the domestic affairs could be very, very daunting because your children are very hard to manage. They don't seem to be doing well in the school. They are quite lazy, and you have to go after them like crazy to make them do their schoolwork. And then you have to make sure that they eat well, make sure that they are healthy, make sure that they are secure. Oh, the task for mothers could be very, very overwhelming. But if the Lord has commissioned you to be that mother, then He will enable you to be the best mother you can be in that situation. Now then, you students, yes, the work ahead for you could be very, very tough also. Your schoolwork could be very, very tough. And then your fellow students are giving you lots of trouble, hard to deal with them. But if the Lord has called you to be in that situation, called you to go into that situation, my dear friends, He will be with you to enable you to be the best student that you can be in that situation. To all of us, in whatever position we are in, the question is the task we are facing a task which the Lord has commissioned us to complete? Is the situation that I am in the situation the Lord has commissioned me to go into? Friends, if the answer is yes, we can be very, very sure that the Lord is going to be with us when we perform that task or when we are in that situation. For this God who showed Himself faithful to Moses and to Joshua is going to show us that He is faithful and powerful. Yes? To us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now let us look at another phrase in these two verses. The Lord said something to Joshua that seemed very obvious. Alright, you look at the verse. Verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now it's a very obvious statement, right? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now why did the Lord say that to Joshua? Why did the Lord say to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead? It was to tell Joshua not to look back and wish for something that had already passed to come to the present. Joshua, don't wish for Moses to be around to handle the job. I've assigned this job to you, so don't look back. Now, aren't we very, very fond of doing that? Very often when someone has been useful, someone has done a very, very good job in our midst, and then he leaves us, then we keep on lamenting that this person has left us. We keep on looking back and wish that the person who used to be with us can now come back to the present to be with us, to help us do our work. Now, friends, because of our looking back, you know what can happen? We can feel very, very discouraged, yes, and feel that those currently serving with us are not as good as people in the past. And we can feel very, very discouraged because of that. Now, what does this show? If we keep looking back and wish for those people in the back to come to the present, my dear friends, it shows that we are man-dependent rather than God-dependent. Yes, in our service unto Him. When we keep looking back, it shows that we have no faith in Him that He will continue to do His good work in the present. That must never be our thinking. Looking back must never be our thinking. Instead of looking back, what should we be doing? Looking backwards? No, friends. We should be looking upwards. Be looking to the one true living God to enable us to serve Him well, to do a good job for Him. Now the Lord says, Moses, my servant is dead. This was to tell Joshua, Joshua, God's work goes on, even though Moses, my servant, is not around. God's plan will be carried out. Moses is dead, true, but the God of Moses is not dead. He's alive, he's faithful, and he's able. Let us always remember this truth. He's able and he's faithful. Years ago, a group of very able leaders left a certain church and left behind, of course, the old church. And they left the church because they went to start another church. And there was great concern that after these able leaders left the church, the leadership and the strength of the leadership in the old church was going to be depleted. But guess what? After this group of able leaders left, the Lord raised up another group of leaders, just as able, if not more able than the previous group. You see, God's word, God's work will continue. He continued to operate that church as well as he desired the church to be operated. Joshua, no man is indispensable. When one servant of the Lord goes, the Lord is able to raise up another to do his work. Now, this thought should humble us. We are not indispensable. Yes? If we choose not to serve him, God is going to raise up other people who are willing, who are humble enough to serve him. Yes? If we are not willing, and if we have this sinful nature somehow that makes us feel that the organization or the church that we are serving in cannot do without us. If we leave the organization or we leave the church or organization is going to collapse. Isn't it true? Somehow we have that kind of feeling. We think we are so indispensable. And there was a certain egoistic leader in a certain church who thought that he was indispensable. And because he thought he was indispensable, he was always threatening to resign. And he thought that when he resigned, the church would collapse. But his fellow leaders were always very, very considerate, very thoughtful, very accommodating, and so they always tried to persuade him to stay. One day, their long-suffering ran out, and this man said, I want to resign. And his fellow leaders took him at his word. All right, you want to resign, you resign. And so he resigned. Did the church suffer as a result? No. On the contrary, after he left, the church operated better and the church grew. The Lord was able to raise up other people to serve him. And what happened to this so-called indispensable leader who resigned? He found to his utter disappointment that he was in fact not indispensable. He was dispensable. And he made himself a castaway actually. Later on he wanted very, very badly to go back to the church to serve. But you know what? The people in the church didn't want him. The lesson, my dear friends, is no man is indispensable. Even Moses. Understand this truth. So let us all go on our knees and thank God that he should choose us to serve him. We are wretched sinners, and he has chosen us to serve him and to have a part in his service in his glorious kingdom. Should we not thank him, my dear friends, if we have been chosen to serve him? Let's count it a great privilege that he has chosen us. Now in this commission to Joshua, let's consider another few words. Verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun or the son of Nun, Moses' minister. The Lord spoke to whom? He spoke to Joshua. The Lord did not speak to anyone else, but the Lord spoke to Joshua. He chose Joshua, he commissioned Joshua to lead the children of Israel to conquer the promised land. Now, at the time of the Exodus, when the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, there were something like 600,000 males. Yes, they were not chosen. Then in the wilderness wandering, there were other males that were born. They were not chosen also. Yes, only Joshua was chosen. Not even Caleb was chosen. You know, Caleb was the other very, very faithful man who went with the other 11 spies to go into the promised land, to scout the promised land. And only Caleb and Joshua came back with very, very favorable news, and that they said that the land was conquerable. Only he and Joshua said that. And Caleb was slightly, I think, more senior in years to Joshua. But Caleb was not chosen. Joshua was chosen. And mind you, friends, not even Moses was chosen. It was Caleb who was, Joshua who was chosen to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Friends, what do we call this special action of God? What do you call it, friends? We call it grace. It is grace. Out of His grace, He chose Joshua. Likewise, out of His grace, He chose us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And out of His grace, He chose us to give us a part to play in His big orchestra. It is all by His grace. So friends, as we said earlier on, let us be very, very thankful and let us go on our knees to thank Him for that special grace that He has shown to us. And if God commissions us to serve, let us be very, very grateful to Him that He has counted us worthy to assume the role that He has chosen for us. Now, we see also in God's commission, in God's commissioning Joshua for service, He also prepared Joshua for the service. Now, Joshua was no greenhorn in his service unto the Lord. Joshua was not a novice. He was the personal assistant to Moses. He was Moses' right-hand man, you might say. And as we said, he was one of those 12 spies that went out to scout the promised land. And then he was also chosen by the one true living God to accompany Moses up the Mount Sinai when Moses went up to receive God's commandments. Of course, he was not given the privilege to go right into the presence of the Lord to witness Moses receiving God's commandments. But he was allowed to go some way up Mount Sinai to accompany Moses. No other Israelites were allowed to do that. Joshua was chosen to do that. So you see, God was preparing him for great service. Likewise, my dear friends, when God commissions us to perform a task for Him, He will prepare us for it. For service in the church, He will groom us over time so that we will be prepared for it. If He wants us to be a deacon, He will prepare us to be a deacon. If He wants us to be an elder, He will prepare us for eldership. Yes, if we are not prepared for the role, we are going to fail. This is the basic principle laid down by the one true living God, my dear friends, for leadership in the church. Novices are likely to fail in holy office, as we have seen from our own experience here in this church. Novices will fail. Yes, people may be very successful, maybe successful managers, maybe successful professionals in the secular world. But these credentials do not qualify them for holy service. These credentials do not qualify them for holy office. Friends, if they want to serve the Lord in holy office, they must manifest spiritual qualities. They must be willing to commit themselves to grow in the Lord. They must be willing to commit themselves to see to the spiritual well-being of other people in the church, which means that they must be willing to commit themselves to come to the church prayer meeting to pray, willing to pray for other people, and they must be willing to humble themselves. Because if they do not know that they have to humble themselves, then chances are when they come into the church to be leaders, they are going to lord over other people, and they are going to fail in their service. Friends, when we are choosing leaders in the church, let us bear in mind this basic principle. No novices for holy office. The Lord will groom the right people for the right position at the right time to fill the positions or position. We must try to identify such people prayerfully. Yes, remember that. Now, one quality the Lord must have implanted in Joshua to prepare for service must have been meekness and humility. Joshua must have seen this humility and this meekness in his leader, Moses. Remember what God said about Moses. Yes, God described Moses as a very, very meek man, one who had no comparison among men. That was what God said about the meekness of Moses. Now, the question is this, what about Joshua? Was Joshua as meek as Moses? Was he meek? Was he humble? He was. We do not know whether he was as meek as Moses was, but we know that he was a meek and humble person. Now, how do we know that? Now, we have this in Joshua chapter 24, verse 29. If you look at Joshua 24 and 29. Joshua 24, 29. Joshua 24 and 29. Read for you. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Did you read those words? The servant of the Lord died. He was not described as a five-star general. He was not described as a great hero. He was not described as a great, great leader, although he qualified to be any one of these. Yes, but he was simply described as the servant of the Lord. Surely this man must have been a meek, humble person who led the children of Israel into the promised land, to conquer the promised land. So you see, my dear friends, whom the Lord commissions, he also prepares for the mission. All right, so if the Lord has commissioned us to serve him, let us be very sure that he will prepare us for that mission ahead of us. Now, when God commissions, he does so with his promise. That's all with his promises. That's my second point. Now look at the verses 3 to 5. All right? Look at the promises that God gave to Joshua. Verses 3 to 5. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Yes, these were the promises given to Joshua. Would Joshua dare charge ahead to lead the children of Israel if he was not armed with the promises given by the one true living God? I think surely he would not. If he did, he would be foolhardy, if not suicidal. First of all, how were the children of Israel going to cross the River Jordan? Remember, they came to the River Jordan, and the word of God tells us that at that time of the year, the River Jordan was flooded, overflowing. Yes, and remember, the land that they were going into was occupied by nations more powerful than they. The land was occupied by giants. But God told him, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. That was the promise from the one true living God. Joshua had seen God's faithfulness, and he had seen the power of God working through Moses. He saw the power of God manifested during the deliverance of the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. Remember, God sent those 10 powerful plagues to afflict the land of Egypt. Joshua saw that. He saw God's power parting the Red Sea to allow the children of Israel to cross over dry land. He saw the power of God leading, guiding, preserving the children of Israel during the 40-year wilderness wandering. And now, just before they came to the River Jordan, he saw for himself how the Lord delivered them from the hands of the Amorites and the Moabites to give them victory over them. Yes, now God was with Moses in enabling him to lead the children of Israel. And now God was telling Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Now was Joshua much comforted and strengthened by these words from the one true living God? What do you think, friends? Surely he would be very much comforted. God telling me, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Yes. I will not fail you. I will not forsake thee. Surely he was very, very much comforted. He knew that this God of his would surely not fail. Yes, what he said would surely come to pass. Friends, let us understand that when we are commissioned by the one true living God, he will be with us as he was with Moses, as he was with Joshua. This God of ours is the same God as that of Moses and of Joshua. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And moreover, this God of ours, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, said these words to us: "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world." He is with us, my dear friends, till the end of the world. And he says, "I am with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you." And he has given us his great commission. All of us has been given this commission. All, go into the world and tell the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us have been given this commission. My question to all of us is this: will we fail? Will we fail if we are willing to accept this commission and go out and give the gospel out? Will we fail or will we not fail? Yes, no. Surely we will not fail because the Lord is with us. He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." We may think that we fail because we give the gospel to somebody and he's not converted on the spot. Don't ever let us think that way, friends. Our job is to give the gospel out. Someday somebody is going to reap the saving of that soul. Yes, our job is to give the gospel out. He is with us, the commission, and he commissions us to carry our mission. Our mission will not fail. Now next, God commissions and he promises success, but there are conditions for success, and that's what I want to talk about next. Conditions for success as stipulated by God. Verses 6 to 9. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Have not I commanded thee?" And then, "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." What is condition number one, friends? Be strong and of a good courage. You know how many times these words were mentioned here in these verses that we have read? Three times. Verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage." Verse 7, "Be strong and very courageous." And then verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage." So that is a very, very necessary condition for us to be successful in the mission that he has commissioned us to accomplish. Yes, but the question is, how can we be strong and courageous? God says, "Be strong and be courageous." But how can we be strong and be courageous? What we need is faith. Faith to be strong and courageous. And how may we obtain faith? The Word of God tells us very, very clearly how we may obtain faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. When we read God's Word, when we believe God's Word, and when we feed on God's Word, our faith will grow. And when our faith grows, our strength and our courage will grow also. Today, my dear friends, we really are in a more advantageous position. Before I forget, we are to read God's Word. Now, that's true. Now, the question is this. Did Joshua ever hear God's Word? Did he? Yes, of course, he heard God's Word. Through whom? To Moses, of course. So he must have known quite a bit about the first five books of the laws of God. He must have known them. Yes, he heard God's word. And he saw also that God was true to his word in performing all those miracles that he performed. So God said those words and he was true to those words. I tell you this, my dear friends, today we are in a more advantageous position than Joshua ever was. Joshua had a very limited revelation from God. But friends, we have the Word of God. Yes, the full revelation of the Word of God, which records for us very, very clearly the power and the faithfulness of God. And as we said earlier on, When we read God's word, we believe God's word, we feed on God's word, our faith will be strengthened. And when our faith is strengthened, our courage and our strength will grow. Today, we know that we can live victoriously by the power of the by the resurrection power of the living Savior who walks with us and talks with us. And you know, Joshua actually knew hardly any of these things. But we know that God's power is with us today. His resurrection power is with us. And we know that by the power of his blood, we will overcome the devil and the world. We know this truth. But you know, Joshua hardly had any knowledge of this. So you see, we are in a more advantageous, far, far more advantageous position than Joshua ever was in. Yes. So, my dear friends, today we know more of God's word, and therefore we should be more educated in regards to faith in the one true living God. We should know more about faith. And friends, if we read God's word, absorb God's word, receive God's word, our faith will grow. And when our faith grows, my dear friends, our strength and our courage will grow. Now, it is worth our while to understand what courage is. Now, do we think courage means the absence of fear? What do you think? No, friends, courage is not the absence of fear. But courage is the willingness to face our fear and to push ahead with the knowledge that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is with us. And that's courage. Yes, face our fear and push forward and recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. That is courage. Now, how do we handle our challenges and difficulties with courage? How? The right way, my dear friends, is to confess that we are fearful and that we are in need of the Lord. We must come before the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, you know, this challenge ahead of me is so great. I'm very, very fearful to go ahead. I'm very fearful. I'm very full of fear without you. Lord, give me the strength and the courage to push ahead. In my own strength, I know I'm not able to accomplish anything. I will fail. But with you, nothing is impossible. And you have promised me, Lord, that you will not fail me. You will not forsake me. And with this confidence, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. My dear friends, that should be our approach when we are facing our fear. Now, what is meant by being strong? It is being unyielding to do that which is wrong. Unyielding. That means we do not want to do any wrong at all. And being strong to do that which is right. In other words, to be morally strong. Verse 7 says, if you look at the word of God, verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7 says, turn not from the law, or turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand. Turn not from the law to the right hand or to the left hand. In other words, be very, very focused in obeying the laws of Moses, the laws of God, and that is strength. Be very, very focused on doing that which is right. Now, in the case of Joshua, it was tough for him to be strong. What was he likely to cave into? I think it was very likely that he could cave in to the pressure of the people. Remember, the people were very murmuring, faithless people, disobedient people, rebellious people. It was easy for him to cave in under that kind of pressure. You remember the case of Aaron at the foot of Mount Sinai. He came under the pressure of the Israelites who wanted to raise up another God to worship. They wanted to worship the golden calf so that they could have the license to sin. While Moses was up on Mount Sinai to receive God's Ten Commandments. And what happened to Aaron? He caved in to the pressure exerted by the people. He raised up the golden calf for the people to worship. It would be easy for Joshua to cave in to the pressure of the people. And it was also easy for Joshua to compromise and make deals with the Canaanites. Why should we go to war with the Canaanites? Just cross the river Jordan and make deals with them. Be friends with them. And then let's live alongside them. Yes, let's live side by side with them. Yes. But friends, Joshua had to have moral courage to stand up for what was right. Yes, God told him that he had to have that courage. Friends, for us to be successful in what the Lord has commissioned us to do, we must be strong too. We must not turn to the left or to the right from the laws of God, but must be very, very focused on the laws of God and must be very, very focused in obeying them. Remember, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are very, very present. The lure of the world is very strong. The temptation to please ourselves and not to please the one true living God is very strong. How we need to die to self daily. How we need to reckon ourselves to be dead to sin and alive unto God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, but how? How may we find strength to serve? How may we find strength to carry out the missions which God has commissioned us to do? How? The key is the Holy Spirit of God. God has given us His Holy Spirit. He has not left us comfortless. He has given us the Holy Spirit to comfort us. He's alongside us. He strengthens us. My dear friends, we on our part by faith must reckon that we are dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is what we must reckon every day. I'm crucified with Christ. My old man is dead. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive unto God through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every day I have to do that, reckon. But who is going to make that real? You can reckon, you can regard, you can consider as much as you can. But who is going to make that real? Friends, it's the Holy Spirit who is going to make that real. It is the Holy Spirit who mortifies the deeds of the flesh. And our job is to reckon. And the Holy Spirit will mortify the deeds of the flesh. He is the one in us who is going to enable us to accomplish the task which the Lord has commissioned us to perform. Next, let's look at the next condition for success in what He commissions us to do. The next condition, look at Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. My dear friends, there is simply no other way. If we want success in what the Lord commissions us to do, we must meditate on God's word day and night. Do we do that? So we say we fail in what we do. But then, friends, have we been meditating on God's word? Have we been reading God's word? How much time do we spend reading God's word? We must be meditating on God's word day and night. Yes, only then will we be able to observe to do all that He has given to us in His word. And only then will we make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. So friends, what has the Lord commissioned us to do? To all of us, my dear friends, He has commissioned us to live for Him, to bring Him honor and glory every day of our life, in the year 2012 and in the years beyond. That is what He has commissioned us to do, to live a life that is pleasing to Him, to bring Him honor and glory. And then along life's way, He will commission us to do some special things. He will assign us special things to do. My dear friends, He will. But friends, if this commission comes from Him, He says He will be with us. He will not forsake us. Yes, He will not fail us. And then for all of us who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has given to every one of us this common commission. And what is that, friends? It is go and tell the gospel. Every one of us has been given this commission. Go and tell the gospel. Go and tell people about Jesus Christ. And will we fail if we accept this commission from Him? The answer is no. What did He say? I will not leave you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Now, when He commissions us to accomplish tasks for Him, what does He also do? He gives us His promises for success, just as He gave promises to Moses and to Joshua. He says, I will not fail you. I will not leave you. Yes, I will enable you to be successful. Then for successful accomplishment of the task, there are conditions. We must be morally strong and we must be morally of good courage. And how may we be strong and be of good courage? We need faith, as we said. And how may we have faith, friends? By reading God's word. Yes, by absorbing God's word, believing God's word, receiving God's word, feeding on God's word. That's how our faith is going to grow. And when our faith grows, friends, our moral courage and our moral strength will grow also. And then for success in what he commissions us to do, we must necessarily meditate on God's word day and night. It is when we do so that we will be able to observe all that he has commanded us to do. And if we did that, friends, we will make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us to serve you. And it is not to everybody that you give your commissions, but you have given to us who are your children. And you know there are people in our midst today who have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we know that they will have no part in any commission that you are giving. We pray that you speak to them and cause them to realize that they are outside your kingdom and they need to come to trust in you as Lord and Savior to receive any commission of any kind from you. And Father, we thank you that when you commission us to perform tasks for you, you will surely be with us as you were with Joshua and with Moses. You will not fail us. You will not forsake us. And we thank you, O Lord God, that when you commission us to do things for you, you will also arm us with your promises. And Lord, we pray that we may always go with this confidence to do things for you, that you are with us and you will enable us to perform them successfully for you. And Lord, we pray that we may also observe the conditions for success, and that is to meditate on your word day and night. And Father, we pray that you will teach us also to have moral courage and moral strength. And we know that we can have them if we have faith in you. We pray that you will enable us to grow in you by reading your word. And we know that if we receive your word, believe your word, receive your word, and feed on your word, we will grow in faith. And when our faith grows, we know that we will grow in moral courage and strength as well. So help us, O Lord God, to grow in you so that we may be able to be of good use to you. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.